here with Dr. Edward Shree. Thanks so much for hanging out with us at the Oklahoma Catholic Men's Conference.
Thanks for having me.
You just had an awesome, like 1,200 men sitting there listening to you talk. How was it? How'd it go? I didn't get a chance to see. I saw it on the TV. I didn't get a chance to be in the room.
It's so fun being at these conferences where you meet so many great men that are striving to be better men.
You know,
that's why they're here. You know, we all have our own things we need to work on. That's what we talked about in the talk was, you know, we're trying to imitate Jesus, especially in this Lenten season, be thinking about his total sacrificial love that he models for us on the cross and how we're called to live that in our families and our marriages and our workplaces and our prayer lives. And we're all working on it.
Right.
And it was fun to see how many of them were just inspired, and there's a lot of faith here in Oklahoma City. It was great to see.
That's true. So there's a lot of guys who say, like, okay, Adam, I understand that I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader of my family. I hear that all the time. I'm supposed to lead my family to heaven. I don't know how to pragmatically do it. I don't know how to, like, what does that mean? You gave a couple examples in your talk about blessing your kids, you know, making sure that you're blessing. How would you answer that?
First thing to lead your family is you need to lead them in your own example. I'd say every man needs a prayer life, and I mean more than, say, bless us, O Lord, or the rosary.
Right.
I'm talking about every true disciple needs to have at least like 15, 20 minutes of quiet time every day for prayer. And that's where the battle begins, because I can't go really get my kids to pray or really live love if I'm not encountering love himself, Jesus, in a daily prayer life. And so that's the number one thing I would say to any man or any even woman listening out there. You got to have 15, 20 minutes of prayer time. That's for your relationship with God. That's where you get spiritually formed. And that's where, you know, maybe meditating on the scriptures, reading the gospel, or, you know, just talking to God about your life. That's where you then go out. There's a line, I didn't share it in my talk, but I often share this, that it's a prayer that Mother Teresa's sisters pray every day at the beginning of their day. They say, Jesus, may every soul we come in contact with look up and see no longer me, but you, Jesus, shining through me. Wouldn't that be wonderful if every person you come in contact with sees not just you, but Jesus shining through you, your wife, your children, your coworkers? That's what we want. But that can't happen if you don't have a deep prayer life. So that's the number one thing a man needs in a home is a prayer life. The second thing, then, to be the spiritual head of the home means you're present there. I mean, you can't be the head if you're just out, you know, just totally working all the time and out on the golf course or out in the shed or whatever. You know, you got to be really present. You're just around. You're available to help your wife. You're present to your kids. You're listening to them. You take them out. You know what's on your children's heart. You know what's on your wife's heart. You can't lead them. You can't serve them if you're not really present and you don't really know them. Just like I can't love God if I don't know him heart to heart in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I need to have that encounter time every day in prayer. Make sure you're getting that encounter time on a regular basis with your wife and with your children. That's the second thing, because the biggest gift you can give your wife and kids is yourself. And if you're too distracted, too worried about other things and projects at work or whatever, you're not going to be able to give your best to them. Then, thirdly, I would say now it's actually thinking, okay, now that I know them, I know where they are, they know that I love them, they know that we're connecting together, now I want to lead them, meaning family, we're gonna pray. We're going to go take some time for prayer. Our family, it's Lent. We're going to go serve the poor together. Or there's a discipline issue. You know, honey, I'll take this. You know, I'm going to go in and I'm going to lead. But you see how if I just come in, I'm going to be the spiritual leader. I'm going to tell everyone what to do. But I am not encountering Jesus or I'm not encountering them. I'm just going to sound like some weird dictator or something. And they don't really know my love for them. That's why it's so important I ground my spiritual leadership through the twofold encounter with Jesus in prayer and being present, really knowing the hearts of the people in my life.
So they say, okay, I got step one taken care of. I'm working on step one. I'm working on step two. I'm going to try my best to start praying with my family. When you start praying with people that you love, sometimes there's a vulnerability there, so it can be awkward. It can be a little uncomfortable. How would you suggest, okay, here's how we're going to start praying together as a family, outside of the bless us, O Lord, and these I gifts, you know, and say, now I lay me down to sleep, you know, right before bed. Like,
let me say one thing. Those little things, we don't have to pray. Like, there's Protestants that are really familiar. Oh, Heavenly Father. And if you don't feel comfortable praying extemporaneously, that's fine. There are many holy, holy men and women of God who've been very saintly as dads and moms that didn't pray that way. Like, if you want to say, family, we're going to do the rosary tonight. I want to pray the rosary. This is really important. We love God, and this is the way to do it. Okay, that's you can do it that way. You could just say, hey, I want to do a Hail Mary as a family together. It could be as simple as that. So I would say just do something. Don't feel it has to be this big,
grandioso
prayer, yeah. And you sound like Billy Graham in your living room. You know? You know? Now, if you want to pray extemporaneously, that's beautiful too. You know, I have such fond memories of my mom, for example. My dad isn't Catholic, so you pray for my father.
Okay.
He's a good man. He believes in God now, but he's not quite at the Catholic thing yet. So everyone pray for Dr. Sri's dad. He's a really good man. I pray he enters the church in God's time here. So,
awesome.
But that being said, my mom would sit down beside my bed every night and would just pray with me. And it was just something like, okay, let's pray. Let's pray for this person and this person. We pray for it. It's just, it was like a lot of names. It was just listening, but she was talking. It was just very simple. Let's pray. We pray for your father. We pray for this person in the neighborhood. We, you know, it was just like, so I got a sense from my mom that God's real because she was like talking to him and like in need. And it wasn't, again, like a Billy Graham kind of elaborate kind of prayer. It was just, you know, Jesus, please help this person. It was as simple as that. But it gave me a sense of God is real. And if dads sat down and did that, how powerful that would be. Even though my dad's not Catholic, one of the most beautiful moments I remember spiritually in my little kid life, it was, I wasn't used to my dad doing anything with prayer, and he came to me, he had this little prayer, it was like a little prayer card, and it had a little cross on, and it was a prayer about the cross. And I'm sure, looking back, my mom just gave it to him to give to me. It was probably for my confirmation, I don't even remember what, but
right.
He sits by my side, he goes, hey, this is for you. And then I don't know if he read it with me or I read it or something, but my dad was there, and I wasn't used to that at all. You know,
isn't that funny? Like, your mom sits there and prays with you every night, and like, that's something that was memorable, but there's one time your dad came up to you and said, hey, this is for you, and that's what stuck out.
Oh, so, I mean, my mom really did stick out because she did it all along, but there was a profound moment there. St. John Paul II asked this question, fathers, do you pray with your children? He comes right out and asks it, do you pray with your children? Or do your children, will they grow up thinking that religion's more of a feminine thing? And that's a great danger. So, again, if you're a guy and you're hearing this, I don't know how to pray with my kids, that's okay. Just go sit by your child at bed and just say at night, hey, son, I want to pray for you. I'll do this with my kids sometimes. I'll say, what can I pray for you for? Like, what's going on?
Sometimes we make it more complex than it should be.
Yeah, just like, oh, my test tomorrow. Okay, let's do that. Okay, I'm going to say, let's do a Hail Mary for that. Hey, God, please help Paul with his test tomorrow. Let's say Hail Mary, full of grace. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
You don't need to go to preaching school
right,
to do something like that, you know. But I think being a spiritual head of the home is more – I mean, praying is profound because that's, you know, that's big. I think talking with your kids about spiritual things is a great sociologist Notre Dame named Christian Smith. He does a lot of research on this new generation coming in and their beliefs and practices. And he interviews lots of families that came from, you know, religious background, and not just Catholic, but Protestant, Muslim, Hindu, all this, but mostly Catholic and Protestant. And the number one factor for will my kids be Catholic long term when they grow from a Catholic home, the number one factor wasn't just they went to church. It wasn't just that they, you know, believed or prayed in the home. You know what the number one factor was? Is that the parents had spiritual conversations with their kids, meaning like just around the table or late at night, like the faith was something that they talked about, or they talked about, you know, the challenges that they were going through, living a moral life. You know, what's it like? I mean, you're in high school, there's these drugs, and how do you handle that, son?
Right.
You know, like to talk about those things. Like you're talking about, you know, spiritually, like, hey, you know, like a father, especially with a son, at a very young age in this culture, to talk about pornography early on, that the kid knows, hey, one day if your kid ever shows you pictures of naked women, don't worry, you won't. You're never in trouble. Just come talk to me. Let me know about that.
Right.
I have to tell that to like a fourth grader now in our culture.
I know,
it's sad.
So sad.
You know, but that as a dad, I have to protect my kids. That's my responsibility.
Sure.
That's the kind of leadership. So it's more than just praying. It's like, you know, I'm having spiritual conversations about my faith with the kids. And I'll be honest, I talked about gaps as I'm talking about this. Going, I'm already thinking, yeah, I need to have that conversation again with this one. I mean, there's things I need to be reminded of this of. So thank you. It's helping me be a better dad, I hope, when I go back home today. But I think that's like, then the faith is something real. It's not just something we do and it's forced upon us. It's a ritual. There's a real, you know, a lived experience, and I'm coming alongside my kids as they're emerging into teenage life and adulthood. And it's just something we talk about. It's a way of life. Mm-hmm. It's not just something we do.
Your book, the Mass Explained.
A Biblical Walk Through the Mass.
Yes, I couldn't remember the subtitle. But yes, how can you guys get a hold of that book?
Okay, yeah, I talked a lot about the Mass is where we find our spiritual energy, if you will, this, the graces specifically to live sacrificial love in our homes and with the people in our lives. So it's called A Biblical Walk for the Mass. They can find it anywhere on Amazon or Ascension Press. So you go right to my website, which is just my name, edwardsri.com, edwardsri.com. The other book I talked about, which is great for this season of Lent, is No Greater Love. It's a book I wrote on Christ's passion. You know, we've, as Catholics, we've heard about Jesus died on a cross, and he was scourged at a pillar, and he agonized in the garden. But what's really going on step by step in his life? And what he's doing is he's unveiling who he is as God, and God is love. John Paul II said the fullest revelation of God's love is in Christ's passion. And so we should be thinking about Christ's passion all throughout the year, but especially in Lent. So those are the two books I wrote about. No Greater Love, A Biblical Walk Through Christ's Passion, and A Biblical Walk Through the Mass. You can find those anywhere, but you certainly can get them on my website, edwardsri, edwardsri.com.
Well, thanks so much for hanging out with us. Thanks for being in Oklahoma. I appreciate it so much.
Thanks so much. God bless you all. All right, thank you. Pray for each other. Thanks.